lakini gavana ilichill tu. Sasa ikachemka bro. Ikachemka. Ni kama volcano yenye ilipuka Ethiopia.
Kwa nini wako na recruit hizi miaka zote? What was the reason?
The president knows better. All right? I'm worried about you. Because the things you say here could land me and you in trouble.
Yeah.
And not because we said it in a bad way. It's just because someone didn't like how we said it. I promise you, and I suspect, the president of Kenya will make a trip to Australia or New Zealand before he leaves office. Maybe attend Antarctica, brother. Maybe attend a space. He could be the first sitting president of Kenya to fly to space.
Damn. Like all these renovations are too close to the elections. This looks like someone who has other plans. Najua, like, nikisikia Narendra Raval talking about 20 years. And then I see all these renovations. And I see all this expenditure. And I'm like, hey, Ruto anapendaje the next president. Baka namfanya hizi changes zote. Ekonene.
Ekonene.
Episode 562. Tukusema like, subscribe, hit the notification button, tell a friend to tell a friend. And today we have a legendary journalist. And this is someone that we used to watch when TV was TV. Because nowadays na feel kaa TV imebadilika.
TV is not TV now?
I don't feel the same. Because back in the days, kwaga 7 p.m.
The definition of TV has moved.
Yes.
It's no longer the screen, as people is now the gadget, right?
Yeah, because you remember, like, back in the days, like, at 7 p.m., you just have to be pale mbele ya screen at 9 p.m. Squeezy because of ni on demand.
Yeah. Sort of like news has changed. Like, prime time is now. To move from being 7, 9 p.m.
Yeah.
To here and now.
Here and now,
so that TV is now your gadget, your mobile phone, your recording device, could be a camera, could be a digital one, could be a phone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but TV was TV then, but now TV is...
TV is... So, tukona Sadiq Shaban, and something very interesting I learned about you. You are a licensed rally navigator.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That means that I have a competition license issued by the Kenya Motorsport Federation.
Yeah.
I'm a licensed navigator. Though I haven't rallied or navigated in a while, but I'm a trained. I got trained in rally navigating, in reading the pace notes. And I did a number of, I did two rallies the days I used to do that. I competed in the 2010 Safari Rally.
Okay.
You know, over Kiambu and Kakamega. Not Kakamega, and Kajiado. And then I also took part in... then it was called the KCB Amana Rally Kilifi in 2010. So we finished alongside my friend Anthony Thibault. We finished 17 out of 52.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so it wasn't just about that. It was also element of defensive driving. So they teach you quite a lot.
Well, defensive driving, you see pitwe?
Yeah, you know, situational awareness on the road. So that discipline... there, because I will tell you, rally drivers are very disciplined fellows. You will find them racing on the Eastern Vipers or Northern Vipers or Southern Vipers. They don't go around modifying their vehicles the way some of our good boys, you know, do on the weekend. Do this head-to-head shootout. No, you won't find them. So they teach you discipline. They teach you how to, you know, contain yourself and how to be courteous on the road. But importantly, take defensive maneuvers and have that defensive mentality when you're on the road. So that is something I picked from that training that was done by a good friend of mine called Abdul Sidi.
Oh, okay.
A few years ago. Yeah. So you surprised to learn that?
Yeah, because I only know Sadiq as the journalist. Like, I don't know this other side. Yako. I don't know if that makes sense. Because, you know, we normally see people from. So kikuja kusikia badaya, alafu pia he come to rally.
Yeah.
I used to follow it when I was a child more than as an adult. No, because let's go up. We'd hear Patrick Njiru,
Jonathan Moy. Yes, you know, those days of the 90s, right?
Yes.
So the 90s. There's one thing that journalism, particularly motorsport journalism, did to me. It's it really affected me in a positive way.
Yes.
Ushawa namse anaenda ku cover ball alafu anakuwa player.
So yako ilikuwa hivyo.
So mimi, I got inducted in that manner. So I was indoctrinated, so to speak.
Yeah.
The days again where motorsport was big in this country, like you'd have one round of Kenya Rally Championship, say for example in Kajiado.
Yes.
Bro, it used to have like 60, 70, 80 entries. Now you can't even raise four. 2005.
Oh, yeah. So what do you think has happened?
Because I feel, bro.
But what? I feel like squeeze it to more knowledge, so to go, we know more about motorsports. Are
no,
easy.
No, yeah. The World Rally Championship killed the Kenya National Rally Championship.
Okay.
We focused so much on WRC and forgot about the KNRC. Now the circuit is dead. I don't think we've even had any other round other than after the WRC Safari Rally. You know, so that is how, you see, for example, I went in to be a motorsport guy and then I also became a navigator. And it was such a, for me, that's a standout thing about journalism that I take away. It taught me so much. I gave it so much.
Yes.
And, it, you know, from it, I also received so much. So this WRC, I'll tell you sitting here right now, it's killed the local sport.
Oh, okay.
It's
okay.
Dead. It's, there's no pulse. If you go around Nairobi West, if you go around Nairobi garages here, you'll find a lot of rally drivers have parked their cars, competition rally cars, because there's nothing to rally about.
And why do you think Kenya wagana you? I always feel like we have the mentality of, for this to survive, we have to kill this, where they can both coexist.
I think it's collateral damage, so to speak. It's like this WRC came back. We didn't have it for 19 years until 2009, when we ran some bit of trial events.
Yeah.
Until after that, you know, we focused so much on who is coming, and we forgot about what we have in the house.
Yeah.
You know, so the interference became too much. People became greedy, you know. The whole rally thing is also subject of investigations right now because of corruption and so many other things. So with that, and then it just became expensive to rally. I think also times has changed. A lot of guys found other, you know, other means or uses for their money. For as long as you do not have anything to rally for again, I mean, there's nothing in there for you. Did you used to come for rally? I didn't see you in Africa.
That's the funny thing. Like, as I keep saying, you're saying like it stopped in 90 to 2009.
We didn't have it from about 2002, you know, for about 19 years.
Yeah.
Until we got it back the other day when President Uhuru Kenyatta brought it back.
Yeah.
So we ran a number of candidate events for 2 years, I think from 2019 and then 2021. We're the first round.
Okay, I'll be honest and say I just used to follow it from far. Because niko naonaga, like I used to see the footage of gari imepita watu vuu imeruka juu. Alafu now the heroes that we had was it Patrick Njiru?
Would you want to spin in a rally car?
No.
One day.
Is it the funny thing about me?
Would you want to spin in a rally car?
Yeah, naeza. But kama niko passenger seat alafu niko... Niko passenger seat alafu nimevaa helmet, everything that everyone does, like
the safety harness,
the safety
stuff.
yes.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I tell you what, in the coming days there's gonna be the rally cross. It's a new form of sport. It combines the traditional rallying on surface, right? You have smooth surface and asphalt.
Yes,
usually a very good one happens in Machakos. You should come around.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, we'll send you an invitation, one of the guys, to give you a good spin there. I think you'll relive your golden days as a young man.
Okay, because I saw Nani did one, and it was so interesting. This girl, Mamitos, did you call her another video?
Oh, yeah,
Mamitos
was
given a spin.
Yeah, yeah. In WRC cars, right?
Yeah.
Bro, tell you what. Those are factory cars, eh? If, for you to sit in that rally car, it's advisable you don't eat.
Oh, okay.
Throughout, you understand? If you have loose stomach, you know what's happening.
I don't want to gamble, so I'd rather not eat than find out I have a loose stomach and I didn't know.
That is apex adrenaline rush. You would never get anything like that. From there, you go to Formula One car. All right? It's comparable.
Yeah.
Because the kick you get from that, bro, you don't need to be high. The car, the rally car itself will make you high. Yeah.
And so now, kwasa nini, you want to understand, the rally navigator is the guy who sits next to the driver.
And calls the knots. So if you see all that noise, you think the driver has mastered or has memorized the route. No. You call the knots. You have something called pace knots.
Yes.
It's like shorthand. It's abbreviated, right? So you as a navigator, your job is to sit there and call it out.
Yeah.
So you may hear something like a triple caution, you know, long, medium right. Max brow, you know, caution. So to a normal ear, you may not know what it is, but the driver internalizes that and interprets to mean there is danger. You reduce your speed here. Here it's flat out. I mean, you
kanyaga mafuta.
Kanyagia kabisa, you know, you wield your kanyagia kabisa kwa mabati. Okay? And then there's a part you either go slow in, fast out. So that's the navigator. Navigator is like the maid in the car.
Mm.
And they get blamed for all the accidents.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think may make mistake.
Puncture, it's navigator's work.
Why?
As labda wewe ndio call your personal to vizuri. So driver anasema aligonga puncture, aligonga mawe kwa sababu yako. Ama if you roll, it's always a navigator's mistake. So you see the nerves it has to take for you to accept all that.
And have you been involved in like a accident mki as a navigator?
Yeah, training rally. One of those training rallies, the media rally.
Yes.
Sometime in I think it was about 2013 in Athi River. We were doing some media rally organized by a very good friend of mine, the late Ben Mushemi. He used to call him Baba Shiro.
Yeah.
You know, Ben Mushemi. So he used to organize in that. So it was very good. But we got an accident. It's kawaida, by the way. Rally drivers do have so many accidents that they bother to remember. Because the safety harness and the safety features in the car would most likely, you know, survive. Protect you. So you'll survive to tell another story.
Because I'm not a head-on collisions. It's mostly either the car rolls.
It's probably a rollover or you go out. And this is the difference between guys who do the MOTs on the road. Have you ever used Nairobi, the Southern Bypass on Saturday night or Sunday morning?
I've not used it, but I know it's dangerous.
It's one of the most dangerous roads in Nairobi now.
That's when Ani died, Mtoyo Masharia.
Yeah, I SK. Think so. Yeah.
Yes.
And the same thing is now on the Nairobi Expressway. You find guys with kina, you know, Subaru, but it's mostly Volkswagen. You know, guys with Mark models of Volkswagen, guys are racing on the Nairobi Expressway. Okay?
But I think that's more of a government problem. Like, stop it. If you know it happens, just arrest a few people and it stops.
But how do you explain someone doing 290 kph on Nairobi Expressway? He like, takes 5 minutes, about six minutes, less than 6-7 minutes from Lolongo to Westlands.
As soon as you are endangering other people's lives, you become a criminal.
Absolutely.
Because you know, it's a controlled environment.
It is.
It's all professionals. It's all what.
Yeah.
Hapo umekuja, maybe there's someone with that L sign kwa gari yake.
That's right.
Hajui how to react.
It's probably family just going about, you know, they're using the expressway, or you're taking someone to the hospital. Could be a pregnant woman, or could be a child. You're taking the hospital, you know, this kind of thing. Or just enjoying a nice ride, you know, on a Friday evening. And then you find some Yahoo boys, call them Yahoo boys, come around speeding on 3-digit speeds. I'll tell you something. I stopped using Nairobi Expressway on weekend nights.
Oh.
And I avoid as much as possible using Nairobi Southern Bypass on end months, particularly on Friday evenings, Saturday evenings, and Sunday mornings.
I think there's an accident that happened. Lumesema hivyo, it reminds me. There's an accident that happened on a Friday.
Yeah.
I remember I reacted to it because I was angry at Musiria.
Okay.
So this person was speeding in a Volkswagen.
I got that accident too. I was out with Musiria.
Yeah.
The guy that killed DJ Nani's wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love you remember when I saw Musiria was there like advising this person, no, you should not do. I'm like, that's a criminal. They need to be arrested and they need to go through the whole, because you can't endanger people's lives because you're having fun.
Those guys were racing from, I think they were racing from GM roundabout. They wanted to go to Westlands and they wanted to find out who is going to get there first. Their friends made it through, but this guy didn't. So they had a collision. They T-boned a van that was dropping.
Yes, I remember that
stuff. You know, at night, and I was just there. I got there before I think it had happened, like 5 or 10 minutes, I suppose. And you know, the guy ran away, trying to find out. He cleaned his social media, but we found a way to ID him. And
is he going through any process? Ama he's mope kama pamba.
We'll follow it up now that this is again. I remember, but because I keep following up a lot of things. We'll follow this one up, I promise you.
Yeah, because I remember seeing that, because you try and imagine you're innocently using the road and someone else is. Because we know, I always say this, we know you have a car, we know it's a fast car. If you want to prove something, we end up after placing in. Even at that coach Top Gear, when they are testing the speeds, they don't do it on a public road
environment. I mean, it's all out in a controlled environment. Look, I can tell you, if you have a powerful engine, you want to test it, bring it to the motocross championship, all right? Bring it to the rally championship. Let them train you. They'll teach you how to invest the money in roll cage, in good modifications, you know, good harness, seat belts, homologated, requirements. And then you can battle it out. Okay? You see how many accidents happen in this Masinga Titi, the way they go out every time.
Mm.
You've got a lot of guys with vehicles in their backyards, wrecked. Mm. You've got BMWs, you've got Mercedes.
Mm.
An insurance company is not covering that because that was self-involved.
Yeah.
You violated the terms of insurance. Mm. So it was not a racing car. It was a private car supposed to be used for private business. But how umepeleka wapi? Masinga Titi, brother. Pigisha huko kabisa.
Oh, you can roll.
Umerudi hapa, umeroll, umevunja kitu.
So, because I remember kuna nini vile umesema hivyo, me remind, there's someone, I don't know what he calls himself, Starbo something on Twitter. Alikuwa anasema the way a lot of Kenyans who buy German machines end up crashing them in less than 3 months. Because hiyo ujinga.
Mwaf, the fact I'll that umona hiyo da... a lot of guys, go to these backyards, go to these estates, you will see magari zimefungwa na covers za gari.
Mm.
Just open it up, you'll see it's probably a BMW, most likely a Volkswagen, and these are performance engines, okay? All of them are there. So it's really, it's a road safety issue. You remember a few years ago, I think 4 or 5 years ago, a couple of Kenyans went to Tanzania and they perished in a
I remember that in a road crash. It was so bad. Right?
Arusha
so bad.
Drive.
Yeah, it was so
they
bad.
They were calling it Arusha Drive.
Mm.
Guys drove from here, they went to Tanzania, then they were racing.
See, it's where the car flew. The worst thing I heard about that accident is the car flew, ended up finding people who had nothing to do with the racing.
Absolutely.
Ikaangukia.
Yeah. Mm. Guys, unfortunately, we lost a couple of young boys from Kenya.
Mm.
All right. Families are still mourning, you know, and stuff. So, but you see, a rally driver, and I'm not saying, look, rally also has a lot of accidents. Let's also be very clear, even at WRC levels.
Yes.
We've seen this here, even in Japan. We had one of the drivers who nearly... he lost a door, right? Even here in Kenya, we've had accidents over the years.
Mm.
But the difference is that competition is done in a safe environment.
Yes.
The safety in that car will likely increase your likelihood of surviving and avoid injuries and stuff. Again, ukishika tu ka Mark 7 hapo, bro, ingia nayo hapo Mombasa Road. Hapo GM unapata jamaa wa boda ameenda wrong side. Anatoka hivi, anavuka huko. Ama unapata lori inakuja hivi hapo. What's going to happen, bro? And I'll tell you, no one wants to wake up to those scenes. And we do. You know, sometimes people need to spare a thought to journalists and first responders.
Yeah,
the things you see every day in the morning. Kila mtu anatoroka wendi unaenda hiyo scene, brother. Ebu imagine.
Yeah, the amount of deaths you see.
Yeah. And I think this is why. I mean, when Dennis Onsariga was here a couple of days, saw that interview. Dennis spoke about Kibaki being the worst president. And he took a flak for it.
yeah.
But I support him, though. I support Dennis because in the same token, you have post-election violence that ruined the lives and mental health of journalists like myself. Right? What if it wasn't easy seeing all the things we saw? And very few people understand Boniface Mwangi in this country. Boni saw the worst that this country had to offer 18 years ago. I was out there with him. I saw Boniface Mwangi with another good friend of mine, the late Gesheru. He was a photographer in Standard Group. They were robbed at gunpoint hapo Kibera DC. Nakumbuka ile ya kitambo ile wacha sasa hivi leo wameka hapo kuna karaunda hapo. Sasa hizi hata kuna ofisi ile DC kwa district commissioner hapo
ya
kitambo ile ya Tene. The guys were robbed there. We were just across in this side and Boniface was out there filming and taking photos. All right? So the thing is Kibaki was the worst president. I agree. Because the thing him and others that put Kenya through affected the mental health of many journalists, including myself. Because in 2007, I was a young guy. Just off, you know, two years of college and I was beginning my career. Then, you know, alongside Muhammad Ali and so many other things.
Yes.
Mwafrika, the things we saw is still fresh in my mind.
I think the because I always point that out, and I think what pisses people off is they want to justify he changed the country economically. And I always tell them that it came at the price of democracy. And because of him, we don't trust elections.
Absolutely. And it came at the price of people's lives. There are people who are living with injuries now. Lives were lost and limbs, you know, were broken. People who have scars from post-election violence. And Mwaf, the post-election violence is now 18 years old. It's a generation now.
Yeah, it's a full adult.
It's a full adult. All right?
You can vote.
Absolutely.
Can
make changes. So if you have an 18-year-old, that child is as old as a post-election violence. So it's very easy to forget what may have happened. And you see, we're going to 2027, same thing, same vibe we saw during that time. You see, the by-elections that are going on now, people are beating each other, cars are being damaged, and all those things. So the embers are still smoldering. So again, we keep saying that people shouldn't forget this thing.
Okay, and maybe something that someone would counter with this is they'd say the Kriegler Commission, the Kriegler Commission, that is, say that they do not know who won. And the question is there any question about who won 2007?
I think the jury is still out there about who won. The late Raila Odinga kept insisting until the last day he died that he was robbed.
We mwenyewe ukiona, like, from what you saw during that time, is there any doubt in your mind?
Look, the elections in 2007 were clearly stolen. I mean, I can't say that. I've said that before. The elections were stolen. We were out there covering election. I was in Mombasa, bro. The things I saw in Mishomoroni, Chief, Likoni. Hey, is the reason I don't even want to go to those. Saizi ukiniambia niende Mishomoroni, mimi siwezi enda. Sipiti yangu hata huko, nilikataa huko, siwezi pitia.
Yeah.
Bangladesh. No. We were out there in the morning with people who are lining up to vote.
Yes.
In the evening, we come back and we are told some of those guys had been killed.
What?
Yeah. So the guy who was voting in the morning is dead.
Mm.
Or you find an arm, you're told this belongs to the guy who was voting. All right? And why? Because they say we were chased out of this place. All our ballot boxes were open, you know. There were ballots, the ballot papers on the ground. And, you know, there were claims that ballot had been pre-marked and taken into, you know, some polling stations. And we keep asking yourself, if it weren't stolen then, okay, it probably wouldn't have the chaos that we did because each party felt aggrieved.
Yes.
And I think the events leading after that, you know, gave everybody very clear indication that this was stolen election. Kibaki saw himself in at night.
Yes.
All right.
Plus your gap, a whole gap here, 1 million, it'll disappear overnight.
Exactly. And you there was a lot of restrictions then.
Yeah.
You know, media, don't do this, don't go live. Mishuki was telling us, don't go live, don't do it. So that period of darkness, I am so happy. It's no longer there. Mwaf, we're going to the election in 2027. And I'm just saying, if IBC thinks it's going to pull the same moves, the one it did in 2007, then it's not going to happen. Because here's the point. Kenya has moved within that time.
Yes.
In terms of transparency and accountability. You and I now, we have phones. A lot of people have smartphones. And this is the problem journalism is going through. That why should you wait until 9 o'clock to show us the news that is happening here and someone has already uploaded it online?
Yes.
See?
So
IBC saying, for instance, that we don't have 4G or 5G coverage in this area should not arise because there's Starlink now.
Yes.
So you can transmit the results from anywhere. And Kenyans don't have a problem with IBC procuring Starlink kits.
The funny thing is, when you say that, it reminds me, was it last week? It's last week when I was telling people that Safaricom signed a deal with Starlink to target the most remote areas in Kenya.
Yeah.
Then I remember when I covered that, I said, now we don't want to hear this nonsense of it's taking 3 days for the results to fika bomas.
Or, for instance, you have a tiling center here, and they're telling you the provisional tiling center is like 50 or 60 kilometers away. The days of transporting the ballot on the road without people declaring the results at the constituency level or at the polling station should not arise. Tunapiga kura hapa, brother. Tunahesabia hapa. Wewe chukua yako. Mimi chukua yangu. Spoiled votes ni ngapi? Valid cast ni ngapi? Ishi hapo. Transmit kila mtu akiwa hapo. Yaani wewe ukiwa hapo mwafu, wewe kuja hata wewe na Starlink yako. Enda live hapo.
Yes.
Kuja na hii podcast yako, weka nje ya Starlink center na uende live. Kuja na generator yako. Kama una pesa ya stima, kuja na generator.
Yes.
Kuja na zile mobile kits, whatever, do it there. Okay? So you transmit the results from there. By the time unatoka Malika na Kuru, kaa Njoro. Kuna ka notorious hole inakuwa kwa Njoro. Mali ndi inaletanga hii shida yote. Walikuwa nasemanga zamani, ati ballot papers za Baringo, zinatolewa huko za Nakuru. There's a notorious hole in Njoro. Huko ndio tunaenda kupiga kambi hii time. Watu wa hesabu hapo, wamalizia hapo, wadeclare hapo. IBC ni clerical peke yake. Chairman wa IBC ni clerical. Usiongeze, usipunguze, usifanye chochote. And that is how we're going to save this country. Mwaf, remember, we have new voters.
Yes.
kids who just malized at high school the other day
yes.
are now eligible to vote in 2027.
Yes.
If they get their IDs now, this year, next year, they will vote.
Mm.
Remember, we've not done voter registration last year.
Yes.
We didn't do it the other year.
Mm.
We have not done it since Ruto came to power.
Yes.
We are now doing even police now and army recruitment and prison for the first time.
Mm.
So they are new voters.
Yes.
These guys must be told, okay, that they wield the power. They wield the power. And those guys, in fact, that is the future of this country.
Yes.
So that election confidence must be there. But I'm passionate about it because I saw the post-election violence alongside the likes of Kinaboni and stuff.
Mm.
And one of the things that it has also done to me as a journalist, if you see the things I write and the way I speak sometimes.
Yeah, no naga. That's the reason we're going to
Afuta. It's probably, you know, has its foundation there.
Yeah. So how do you feel about people who look at Boni and say he's an opportunist, that even his covering of 2007 was opportunist because he ended up publishing a book based on the photos, blah. Oh, Filaje, kisike hivyo?
If there's one guy I really respect in this country and hold in very high esteem, it's Boni Mwangi.
Mm.
He knows it, right? Boni is one of the people I look up to, really, really. I began this trade with him. I think I must have met him there.
Mm.
We worked in Standard Group for many years.
Yes.
Before we left, both of us, to do our things.
Mm.
Boni and I and many other people, I think we need to form an association called Institutional Memory Association of Kenya.
Mm.
Those are the people that have institutional knowledge of what has happened.
Mm.
The things Boni, you know, photographed, have not been, are not in contest. They are not in dispute. Yes, they did happen. You know, the hands, the shopping, Kiamba, and I also went to Kiamba in Eldoret. Okay, you saw the church and everything else. We saw the people. The people are real.
Mm.
The event of 2007 cannot be wished away. And Boniface keep ringing that bell that Kenya cannot go back to that place.
Mm.
And Boni has even put his own children to fight for a better cause for this country.
Mm.
Nobody else has done that.
Yes.
I don't think anybody else has done that. I really look up to Boni and I keep encouraging him at all costs and all turns.
Mm.
I tell Boniface, what you have done is what some of us probably are doing. Because journalism is also about publishing stories.
Yes.
I don't know whether I can cite this one.
Look
at this.
Gado.
Look at Gado. Gado, you need to give me a copy of this, bro. Ay, come on, man. How come whoever has a copy and I don't? Look, all this that Gado has published.
Yes.
Including from Kibaki. All right?
Yeah.
And Waiguru, that corruption scandal at NYS.
Mm.
She doesn't want to talk about it, but it did happen because investigations have not yet completed, so it's still going on. And I think the latest one is about Tanzania. Madam Sulu Hassan, right?
Yeah.
I see it's here.
Mm.
So again, this is what we're talking about. So this is institutional memory.
Yes.
A lot of people do not want to remember more of what happened.
Yeah.
And that is the problem they have with Boni.
Mm.
That is the departure point. Boni speaks the truth to power, something that I think some of us do, and for which a lot of people don't like us.
Mm. Okay. Because I've been known to be like a very big Boni supporter. I always tell people that I know him, in quotes, on a personal level, and he's someone who actually means well for Kenya. But now I feel like Kenya, I think with Boni, he's, I don't know how to put it, but the fact that he used to even protest time ya Kibaki. See,
yeah.
Then time ya Uhuru.
Boni's been evergreen.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think with that, on a like, umtu, and a protest evil as a
but can I tell you something interesting?
Mm.
There's a drop of Boniface Mwangi in a lot of people.
Yeah.
Boniface Mwangi has become almost a movement.
Mm.
You saw the James East recently. The 2024 June protest, even as recent as Sabasaba this year. Okay? People have now owned the movement. And it's not just because of one person.
Mm.
It wasn't because of Raila Odinga, for instance. Baba did his part. He handed it over to the young people.
Mm.
But then in town size, you don't need to prompt anyone to come for Maandamano. People already have enough reasons to go to the streets.
Mm.
And it's because of what? Chapter 4, Article 37 of the Constitution.
Yes.
It's a guarantee. So it is the same thing. And I think Boni had seen it, Kitambo. He probably gave him his flowers, though.
Yeah.
The man had seen this chapter from a long time ago.
Mm.
Right? And I think a lot of guys around the region are just wondering, how is Kenya able to do all these things? It's the book of law.
Mm.
It's the book of rules.
Yes.
So, Boni has made Chapter 4, Article 37, very popular. because it guarantees petition, presenting petitions to authorities and stuff. I think all of us should also look around the Constitution and popularize other chapters of the Constitution. Probably they'll be as fit as chapter 37.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I need TZ. How are you seeing TZ, and what do you think about now? They said that they want to report her to the ICC. So,
bro, one of the things that I really, really, really feel, the journalists of Tanzania, I've got a lot of friends. I'm not going to mention them on this podcast. I know a lot of friends in there. Those guys are going through hell.
Mm.
Journalism in Tanzania is under dictatorship.
Yeah.
You have things you want to say, you can't say because laws will be used against you.
Mm.
There's no freedom. People say there's freedom after speech or freedom before speech.
Yes, on Samaga, there's freedom of speech, but not freedom after speech.
Yeah.
We can guarantee freedom of speech, but not freedom after speech. Yes.
And sometimes they say your right begins where mine ends.
Yeah.
In Tanzania, there's no such thing.
Mm.
I mean, it's already a criminal offense to report, you know, about what may have happened.
Mm.
You remember in Tanzania, you cannot challenge the presidential election in court.
Yes.
You can't.
Once it's declared, it's final.
That's it. Mm. All right? And now, you have these laws, okay, that criminalizes journalism and stuff. And I'm happy that, you know, a lot of lawyers are now picking this up now and having elements around ICC.
Mm.
Senators in the U.S. and other countries are now calling for independent investigations in Tanzania. We are talking about figures of 3,000 people who may have died. By the way, that's more than the post-election violence
in Kenya. Yes. Like, the videos, you saw the videos from Mwananyamala.
Horrific.
Even Kenya haikuwa hiyo level.
Horrific. All right.
Like, the amount of government brutality.
We were talking Kenya, where the numbers never, you know, formal, official, or whatnot, really never. And this just happened in what? We
less
had post-election violence, Kenya, from...
it was 1 month, isn't it?
Yeah.
From less than
from
5 days.
From 27th of December,
yes,
2008, until Kofi Annan came on 28th of February.
Yes.
So it was a period of almost 3 months.
Mm.
This one was what? A week?
Less than a week. I think
less
it was 5 days.
By the time everybody's done, the bullets have, you know, the guns have gone silent.
Mm.
3,000 people plus.
Yes.
Who are dead.
Mm.
But you see what you can do? You cannot stop families from grieving. And we are now seeing graves of people, families who are mourning their people. So Tanzania is where Kenya was 30 years ago when we were talking about the repealing of Section 2A of the multi-party democracy in Kenya.
Mm.
That is where Tanzania is, equally with Uganda.
Mm.
All right? And you know one thing I'm worried about?
Mm.
These are the people we're going to co-host Africa Cup of Nations in 2027 with.
Yes. Ekonene, nime interrupt show kukurimand your Lemfi. Kama uko US ama Canada, nunataka kutuma do Kenya, register kwa Lemfi ukitumia promo code Ekonene. Hita kugarantee $20 cashback on your first $100 transaction. Alafu pia taimuna register, make sure ume tick the two checkboxes za notifications duku ukireceive info about amazing offers through newsletters. Na pia usijali, Lemfi hatumagi hizi maletters za, yani unajua, like ma messages za kipumbavu. Pia, usisahau, every time una transact $50 and above, una earn points. Now, the more una transact, the more points you earn, and you can redeem them as cash ile time una tuma pesa. Alafu pia, kitu nanibamba kabisa ni saizi, kitumia Lemfi, muzabaki umelipa pay bills na till numbers directly. That means muzabaki umehandle bills za maparo wako, ukiwezo masaidi za States ama masaidi za Canada. Alafu pia, we mwenyewe, as a Lemfi user, baki umetafuta ile button miandikwa get USD $20, ubaki umeinvite mabeste zako, na ukiinvite mabeste zako, on their first $100 transaction, unapata pesa ngapi? $20 cashback. So unangoja nini? Baki umechangamuka, ingia Lemfi. Lemfi, international payments for everyone. Eko nene.
So imagine football fans going to Tanzania.
Okay.
What's going to happen?
Because I wouldn't go. Personally, I wouldn't go. Like I've been saying, even right now, you as Sadiq, I don't think you should go to TZ.
Well,
it's just one of those countries.
But
where
it's affecting, you know, it's affecting a lot of things. I recently spoke to a number of Kenyans who wanted to go to Mount Kilimanjaro to hike. I also hike sometime. And they say, now we can't go. Because the way Tanzanians now look at Kenya is very different.
Sisi ndio tunaharibwa, tunavuruga amani.
Sisi ndio tuna wao ndio kwa wazuri wale wametulia,
watoto
wazuri, sisi ndio wabaya sasa. But Tanzania is now getting its Eureka moment.
Yeah.
It's going through that. This is where we were 30 years ago.
Mm.
So by the time they come around, do the constitution review, hopefully, and allow free speech, free media and whatnot, it's probably going to take them another two generations.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it's sad because
sikio brother utakuwa mzee.
Yeah.
Hii nywele hata itakuwa hapo. Utakuwa kana nani? Utakuwa kana nani?
Mm.
Politician mgani Kenya hii sahi ni mzee unaweza compare na wewe kaangalia.
Usipige how many years?
Tunaongea
by the time what
two generation in 36 years. Hebu ipigishe
yule utakuwa buru. Utakuwa kwa buru tu niko. Unajua it's
Lokora jitamu Afrika.
I guess so. Bale plastic plastic tu
baba yao sasa wakaruyo baba yao Afrika mwanzilishi
babu yao
babu yao
yeye ni babu yao that's hiyo ni ya life pia vile iko yeah. Eh
so it is it maze poleni bana but really for a lot of people who died watching this we feel for you I mean we absolutely commiserate with you poleni jamaa wa Tanzania ndugu zetu tunaombea kila lililo heri lililo njema familia ambao walipoteza watu poleni jameni Mungu awarehemu Mungu awape amani manake kinachoendelea Tanzania kwa sasa sio kizuri lakini Tanzania wenyewe lazima watafute haki
yes
na wiano truth and reconciliation
yes
that is the only way we went there with Krigler and so many others after post election violence so Tanzania is there as well yeah.
And I think as someone who covered 2007 you knew the government of Tanzania was going to react violently, yes? But did you expect it to be that level?
No. Nobody expected
the level
for them to go this way. I mean, we've always known Tanzania as want to project itself as a different country, you know, cut from a different cloth, not regional.
Mm.
You want to be the good boy, for example, the good girl of the region, you know, away from the stain, the good behaved, you know, the blue-eyed boy of the region.
Yes.
But you see, again, look at what is happening. I mean, wake up and smell the roses. The uprising by young people isn't just confined to Kenya. Uganda is also going through their own version of maandamano. I mean, you see, the presidential elections are coming up. And natural factors are working against Museveni. So you're likely to have transition, natural transition in Uganda, you know, same way you've had problems in Cameroon. You know, protests were there. Again, look at the Indian Ocean Territory of Madagascar.
Yeah.
President, you know, left the country, is now in exile. Asia also. We also had problems in, I think, Nepal, as this country.
Yeah.
So this is not a Kenyan issue. It's not a Tanzanian. It's a Gen Z issue. And when young people take, you know, things matters into their own right, then it's become... You asked me a question earlier, and I think I want to tie up with this one. The young people of this time, WAF, we should be afraid. These guys are more knowledgeable. They are more exposed. All right? I have a lecturer friend teaching in a public university. He's telling me the other day, I am having problem lecturing because as I'm lecturing here, the guys questions. Are here on ChatGPT and other things. So the instruction, the medium of instruction that supposed to be me here as an instructor of knowledge and you receiver of knowledge, that gap is wiped out.
Yes.
Because you have young people who now know more and they're challenging lecturers. Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but you see, they're redefining a lot of things. They are moving the goalpost and the cheesecake, if you will. So the same people we saw in Kenya, people looked at young people of Kenya and said, ah, ini ile maandamano tu ya kawaida itaisha. But it has gotten stronger. Mwaf, if you ask me sitting here, I think kuna maandamano moja inakuja kali sana in the coming days. I feel it. Because there are still a lot of issues that have not been tackled since the last time guys went out on the streets. It's just been swept under the carpet. Okay? Inafika wakati siku moja unaamka asubuhi hapa, unatoka kwa nyumba hapa unashangala, hii baro mbona hakuna mtu? And I promise you, siku unatoka kwa nyumba uone hakuna barabara, I mean hakuna magari kwa barabara, ujue ndio siku ya maandamano. Inakuwa imenuka tu. Unaamka siku moja hivi unaona jamaa wanarudi wote home. Unaamka manaiba leo magari zote ziko kwa parking. Ni nini? Jamaa anakuambia, "Eh, hapo South Side kupitiki. Nairobi West tumeona. Aiendeki. Mlolongo Embakasi kwa hiyo bridge hakuna." Okay? So you see this Gen Z issues. People want to talk about na wanasema wazee wataki kuangalia. It is going to consume this country. And we said it. We told the government last year before this whole thing began.
Yes.
Mwafa wa jamaa kwa hapo tao kila siku Sunday wakipiga mapicha nini nini. Unajua imesaidia hawa jamaa they now feel comfortable in the streets. Hii tao kila mtu anajua sana. Hizi streets zote za hizi wewe unajua hata street lakini hujui jina yake.
Yes.
juu watu waliingia huko huko wote ndani. Jamaa wako kwa street. Watu wanakuja hapo, wanapiga picha zile za soso hapo kwa street. Unaona Sunday vile tao iko?
Yes, yes.
Kila mtu anatafuta nafasi. Ah, wote vijana wataenda wapi? I'm so glad sitting here that at least 10,000 of them were recruited into the police last week. Hao jamaa ndio wangekuwa wameenda ile miaka 2022. Iyo rende 2023 wangekuwa wameabsorb another 10,000. 2024 wangekuwa wamechukua another 10,000. Hii mwaka wangekuwa wamechukua another 10,000. Hiyo ni ngapi? Around 30,000.
Yes.
Hao jamaa wangekuwa wametoka. Hiyo asire ingepungua. Lakini gava ilichill tu. Sasa ikachemka bro. Ikachemka. Ni kama volcano yenye ilipuka Ethiopia.
Kwa nini wako na recruit hizi miaka zote? What was the reason?
The president knows better.
Yeah,
he's the commander in chief. So again, nobody else can give this order. And then of course you see the problem we've had was the, you know, power between the National Police Service Commission and the Inspector General of Police. See? But again, speaking broadly, you can't sit here and not speculate the reason as to why. You know, there was no police recruitment. For the first time that cycle was discontinued. Kibaki did his 10 years and there were people throughout.
Yes.
There was employment in the police service and the discipline forces by Uhuru for the years he was the president. Hata wakati wa uchaguzi hiyo mwaka kulikuwa na wajamaa waliandikwa job.
Yeah.
But then 2022 Ruto aliingia hakukuwa nayo. 2023 hakukuwa nayo. 2024 hakujakuwa nayo.
So in 2020.
So ile ya Uhuru ilikuwa ya mwisho ya 2022 kabla ya election. So tuseme 2023, 2024 na 2025.
Yes.
Na hiyo unaongea kuhusu police service, National Police Service, ambayo inachukua AP, inachukua polisi, inachukua jamaa wa KWS, inachukua prison service, okay? Na KDF. Unaona yeye ni rendeka ngapi?
Yeah, ni watu wengi.
So hawa jamaa wote wangetolewa kwa street labda tungekuwa na hii mambo yote.
Kuhusu kitu interestingly vile umesema hivyo umechukua this year. There's a guy who used to work for Ikonini, like in the remotely. Yes, ali he was recruited and akiganjo saizi.
Sasa, wacha gava yende deal na hawa vijana sasa nyo lukona pigana na hawa kwa street. Wacha yende deal na hawa sasa. Waone vijana vile wameiva.
Lakini sasa, shida ni, have you ever felt this? Movie ili give you that ama vijana wale unasema, wakisha join gava somehow they forget that they are part of the...
I want to listen to the story. I want to listen to the story of trainers and recruiters. Already, we've seen Kipchumba Murkomen. Amesema, vijana wamerudisha home. Juzi.
Eh,
ndom.
Oh, eh.
Why ndom? Kuna vijana wako hapo vegetative, kumbe ni pombe, jamaa ameenda huko ni mazee poleni bana. Hii drug na mada watu zungumzia kwa hii show yako siku moja. Tafuta jamaa amerecover. Akushow tu hizo story. Ni ngumu. Watu wanapiga tie hapa, watu wanapiga sherehe kila wakati, lakini they don't realize what they do to themselves. Hao jamaa wengine wameenda huko wamefanywa medical wameanguka. Wamerudi. Okay.
Yeah.
Sasa ile ujeuri yenye serikali ilisema vijana wako nayo kwa street.
Yes.
Imeenda wapi? Imeenda kwa training sasa. Wazee ni Gen Z bwana. Mimi nataka kungoja story yao baadaye tuone.
But ndio nakuuliza. You have that much faith in them? I always feel like the police, mtu akisha join the institution of the police, they forget that they are Kenyans and they become part of the
unatolewa uraia.
Oppressive.
Unatolewa uraia. Wanasemaga ukiingia pale wanatoa uraia. Wanakuweka uaskari. Ila software ya uraia inatolewa.
Yes. So when you come out
of the police, kama raia sasa. Hapo jana tulikuwa tunangangana nao kwa street, sasa ndio wataenda kuwa side hiyo nyingine. Wakuja walimana na hao wengine sasa wakati wa maandamano.
Si ninakwambia utapata hao wanatoka huko wanatupiga tu risasi kama they were never part of us. I think I don't know. Mbaka mu feel ni kama there is mind control kwa police force.
Listen, I think one thing I'm also worried alongside what you're saying is absolutely okay.
Yeah.
What I'm worried about, Mwaf, is the mental health aspect of these young people. We seem to have forgotten the generation from particularly 2000s.
Yes.
And those are the guys on the street. Maze, hakuna maandamano nilikosa. Hizo zote nilienda. Of course, I went there to cover.
Yes.
I was speaking to some of those guys. It's like, at the turn of the millennium, people forgot this group of people, the born 2000s. Make no mistake, mse alizaliwa 2000, zaini 25 years old.
Yes.
Na hawa vijana walikuwa hapo. Nobody seemed to speak about their mental well-being. See, this, unlike us, this is a generation that grew up with the internet and the computer.
Yes.
Ona, sikileza leza madala la network, brother. simu ilikuwa inaliu unaka hapo 10 bob per minute. Okay, vijana waliingia na hiyo time sasa, walikuwa watoi wakati internet ilikuwa inaanza kuingia. Siku zile za Safaricom zikianza 2002, 2001 hapo Telkom ni nini, vijana wameingia na internet.
Yes,
Google imewapata hapo. All the social media wamegrow nayo hapo.
Yeah.
Most of them wakiwa matinis, due 10 years and stuff like that. Some of them waliingia hapo. Sasa, vijana, they have been exposed to too much content. Okay? From the world web. Some of us were protected by there in a way. Growing up in the 80s and stuff, and 90s, we didn't get access to a lot of stuff like what is happening on social media. So you could argue in a way. Of course, it's not 100%.
Yes.
We also had our own problems. But these guys have so much they're dealing with now. The interference in their mind is too much. Now, I'm so worried about young people I know. Because when I say, anasema, akona stress. And akujinyuria. Jamaa akona 18 years, 19 years. Okay? Jua meona watu wengine vile wametreatiwa na familia yao.
Yes.
Jamaa aoni vile. Of course, hata situ kwa naziona hizo vitu hizo siku.
Yes.
The way these guys are going through it now, I'm worried about it. And this is a mentality wanapeleka wapi? Kwa training. Ya jeshi, ya polisi, and discipline forces. Maze, converting those guys from the state they are raw into finished products and hope that they become a different people from where the society is. Mali tumewa plak.
Yes.
Hapa tumewa pigetia guys, tumewa piga, tumewa vunja. Jamaa ameenda huko. Ila asira atarudina huko brade ngojeni sasa. Itaiva. So I share in your sentiment.
Yes.
Hawa jamaa akiwa deployed. Anti-riot ya kwanza. Juwananda next year wana graduate after. Hawa ta graduate next year.
Yes.
Kwa meanza hii mwaka. So hile batch ya kwanza nye Ruto ata preside over. Ni hawa. Tuongee hiyo siku. Kama kuna maandamano hivi kidogo. Alafu hawa jamaa aluetu. Nafikiri hiyo, hiyo itakuwa ni hasira.
Yeah.
Juu watakuja kutupiga hapa.
Sino kwambia itakuwa ga like, I've never understood vile, I understand digi like, a better society, a better country is good for all of us.
Unless we're going to be surprised pleasantly. Let's also not go so much on that side. Unless you're going to be pleasantly surprised that hii beli hapa ni tofauti, it will break away from that generational curse.
Yes.
Of what we have seen. We just hope sitting here that these guys will be different. Of course, they're different now. They're a different generation. Hawa ni wasee ongei kutoke. Wajira hivo?
Yeah.
Generation ya ongei kutoke. Iko nini?
Iko nana.
Watapeleka hii podcast huko.
Yeah.
So watakuwa na agi unamsee ule trainer nini nini. Yeah, wambia brother, hakuna TikTok. Bro, hakuna social media. Bro, hakuna Instagram. Hapa hakuna filters. Unakuja hivo vile tu huko. Okay? I'm hoping they will be different.
Yes.
And maybe, maybe. It will herald a new generation of police service with a humane approach. Si wale wa jamaa kiganjo wenye wasema
kujagapa na tu wanavuruga tu na shindwa like unafanya nini?
And they are tough on everybody. Hata sisi journalist huwa tunakapitia. Unajua it's taken a lot, you know.
Yeah, najua.
You've also done radio yourself, bro, you know.
Yes.
I used to listen to you bana ukipiga ilikuwa ni ghetto.
Yeah.
Eh, hizo masiku you did it. I was listening to you.
Yeah.
It's not changed. Ile software ya kiganjo ya tena bado haijai. So labda waende na size tuko Android ngapi bro? 14 ama 15?
I think tuko 14 size.
14 eh? Labda hii sasa ndio iko the latest. Juu ile ya kiganjo ni zile Android 1, 2, 3 hata inanga updates, inanga patches.
Ni the same tu
hapo.
Ni violence tu against citizens.
Yeah, so maybe
because with TZ nasikia one of the things that has happened is the fact that they used to kill indiscriminately at a lot of even people in the security forces have ended up losing their family members, and that has worked against the government. Unajua vile you saw vile TZ that walikuwa naingia kwa neighborhood and they even spray. Shoot into houses,
and for the first time their independence celebrations have been cancelled.
Yes,
it's like, what is there to celebrate about? Unakumbuka Morgan Heritage akiimba ile song
Nothing to Smile About.
Nothing to Smile About.
Yeah.
You, what are you, what is there to celebrate?
Okay?
People are dead. The president is probably being cited by ICC for possible crimes against humanity. So again, it has taken young people to cancel that. Can you imagine Kenya cancel a celebration?
Yeah. Just because watu wamesema kutakuwa na maandamano ile
siku tunapiga yetu alternative. Nyinyi mnafanya ya celebration huku ya jamhuri, lakini sisi tuko na jamhuri yetu hapa.
Yes.
Jamhuri ya issues za wananchi. Okay? So again, young people are the future. I keep saying this. Even those guys who are in journalism now, I'm really really happy about a crop of very ambitious young journalists in Kenya.
Yes.
Very ambitious, jamaa wa kujituma, very courageous. I see young boys and girls, particularly girls and young women, who are bubbling out of the whole crowd, and they are reaching out and, you know, doing a good job. Sometimes I sit down and I wonder, who are we leaving behind in this profession? But then again, I'm so encouraged by a crop of young journalists in this country who are coming up, who have established themselves also. Guys who have 10 years, 15 years. Some of us have probably 20 years now. Guys with 10 years and they are doing a good job. Journalism in this country is difficult, Mwaf, I'll tell you. Doing journalism can be difficult. All right? You can choose whether you want to be a content creator or a journalist. Okay? You can choose whether you want to be an exhibitionist or a journalist. You can choose whether you want to, you know, make sure that it is your personal life or content that precedes your every mention. There are people who are using this trade to for different reasons. The calling is no longer there. Okay? Sometimes we see this and we're like, it's getting into our head. But I'm happy that this profession is in solid hands, safe hands. And those are the guys I look up to. By the way, I learn a lot even from those guys because they are combining both the traditional journalism and new media, which is a lethal combination. And the government doesn't seem to like it too much.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm wondering how long we're going to continue having this freedom. The new bill, computer cyber,
Crime Act. Yes,
I don't even know. Have you thought how much it's going to affect you and this kind of free speech that we're having here?
You see, the problem I always have with that is when you realize that the big chunk of that was passed during Uhuru's time, it shows you how a president can take advantage of a divided country and pass something. Mwingine amekuja tu kuiremix, but the core thing passed under Uhuru, and it also shows you how. I remember when Uhuru, after the disputed 2017/2018,
yeah,
ile time like, sasa, we are going back to manual register. You remember that? Wakapass manual register.
Yeah.
Alafu, akambia judiciary will revisit. So around your time, sasa, watu wakaanza kumtandika online. Alafu, we started your cybercrime.
Mpaka akazaroka.
Yes.
Uhuru peka alitoroka, akiendaga, akienda. Yu Kenyatta ilifunguaga akiendaga akiendaga akishia. And you see now the new cyber bill, the cyber harassment and computer muses and stuff, it has already taken in a couple of guys. All right, there's a very thin line. In fact, we don't even know whether the line is there or whether it is thin, okay, or whether it is blurred anymore.
Yes,
between, you know, what can be considered as fair speech or you know, fair comment and defamation, for instance, or something that the government feels seditious. Sitting here, we are having this conversation, and I know people in Tanzania cannot have this conversation.
Yeah.
People in Uganda cannot have this conversation.
People in Rwanda.
People, again, all those countries, even Cameroon, sometimes is very difficult.
Yes.
But now, we have seen the freedom of expression and information that is in this country.
Yes.
And someone, somewhere, isn't very happy about it. But then ushaona ego ya mtu iko so compressed mpaka akichorua kama caricature anapeleka vijana wako tini. Eh? Jamaa akitumia AI hapa I prompt.
Yes.
Itoe mwafa anakaa hako Lake Bogoria huko amekaa vile anakaa. Unaanza kusema huyu mse is misusing the computer.
The computer, yes.
At what you are trying to say is likely to cause fear in this country.
Yes, and cause someone to commit suicide. Which is such an ambiguous thing.
This is what I like about Raila Odinga. Baba never took anyone to court. Things they said about Raila for many years. Raila had very thin skin.
Yes.
And he knew that this was the price of democracy.
Yes.
So I'm worried about you particularly, the you know, people who, podcasters,
yes,
bloggers, vloggers, and people who feel that alternative voice.
Yeah.
Because not everybody can go mainstream. And a lot of people, in fact, are running away from mainstream to this kind of personalized spaces where they can relate with a few things. I'm worried about you. All right? I'm worried about you. Because the things you say here could land me and you in trouble.
Yeah.
And not because we said it in a bad way. It's just because someone didn't like how we said it. It is not what we said. It is not the material content of what we said. It's how we said it.
Yeah.
So you figure out whether there's any line anywhere. about freedom of speech and whatnot. But you know something, Mwaf? Language is very dynamic, and you cannot police language. You cannot legislate language. Language morphs every day, comes up with new ways. Okay? Sasa wewe mse vile unajua stories za Sheng. Mwafu unaza, washa sikia ghetto news ya ghetto radio.
Yeah.
Mi upenda by the way, juu mi akuna kitu mi ushika. Ghetto radio kianza kuile news in Sheng. Sometimes hata mi upull over kwa gari. Nisikie tu.
Yeah.
Juu sisikii kitu lakini nataka kusikia. Ebu imagine kupeleka mse kotini kuhusiana na kitu kaa yenye alisema. Tuko na dictionary ya Sheng.
Sheng inakuwa open to interpretation.
Kuna dictionary ya Sheng kama ile ya Macmillan Library, ya Macmillan dictionary ya kuna.
Yeah.
So people will find a way to speak. You cannot gag people for life. So hii wacha ikamu. Hii kuja vile itakuja, watu wameipokea, people will interpret it. I promise you, one of the most athletic provisions of legislation itakuwa hii.
Okay. So nini, one thing to yako, like even one of the reasons ni kuanta kuka china wewe ilikuwa the way, kuna vitu wapo anga juu yake mpaka na shindo, like umse amejuaje, kama majuzi ulikuwa meka international trip number 95 for the Kenyan president. So he's traveled, because he's been in office, I think for just over 1,000 days, Ame travel 95 times, that's like, one trip every 10 days.
Bro, there's something I regret at this point. I had started this with Uhuru Kenyatta. I had started counting Uhuru Kenyatta's trips. I got to 40. And then at some point, I changed my mind. I felt fatigued. So I stopped. I picked up when he was just about to leave office.
Uhuru.
Ya Ruto brother nilimuamulia. Huyu juu kwa juu, mimi na yeye.
Yeah.
Akianza ya kwanza ilikuwa ni death of Queen Elizabeth, London.
Ile time ulikuwa kwa basi kama fala. Nakumbuka? Like African presidents, they have no self-respect.
Ya kwanza alienda funeral. Ilikuwa ni the funeral ya Queen Elizabeth.
Si ule ulikuwa kwa basi? Ya basi ni coronation.
Ile African leaders wakienda London ile. Walirudi ya pili.
Okay.
So every trip that the president makes, I document it. And I have a long thread on X. I don't like call it X. Me, I'm still an old
Twitter.
School guy. I call it Twitter.
Yeah.
By the time he was coming out of Angola this week, he had clocked 95 trips. So whenever he leaves this country, he crosses the border. I count that as a trip. So the president has done more than Kibaki ever did, more than Uhuru ever did. Okay? Combined, na amewachapa wote.
Yes.
Okay? I was doing an average that the president has to be out of the country at least 3 times a month. Lazima aende. 3 times a month.
Yeah. Which is ridiculous.
And the place mahali ajaenda sahi, ni Australia. Okay? Ajaenda Brazil. North America, US ameenda. So ajaenda South America, kina Lima, kina Peru, kina Uruguay, Paraguay, Argentina, uko El Salvador, uko ajaenda. Mali nyingine ajaenda ni alienda South Korea. So North Korea ndio ajaenda. So hiyo circuit ya US na South Korea ametembeza. Haya, ukiangalia Oceania. Hizo makountry ndogo ndogo. Mali Uhuru alienda huko kwa kina Rihanna huko. Barbados,
yes.
Najua ataziokota. Already amesema ataenda Singapore next year. Kuna ule jamaa alikuwa hapa juzi. I promise you and I suspect the president of Kenya will make a trip to Australia or New Zealand before he leaves office. Maybe attend Antarctica, brother. Maybe attend a space. He could be the first sitting president of Kenya to fly to space.
Damn.
Because I don't think there is anywhere the president hasn't gone. And rightfully so, he has to go and sell this country and do so many other things. But you want to ask yourself, is this a validation? Is a man trying to validate himself after being called an ICC suspect? Is he trying to reach out to the world and say, look, here I am. You guys may have condemned me and stuff.
But I'm a good guy.
And he never delegates these trips. He takes them whole. He chews all of his trips.
Because Magufuli never used to travel, didn't
he? Yeah, I don't think he did. Magufuli one time, he came to Kenya, but he traveled by road. All right? He did. And you know what I'm worried about as well? It's the cost of his travels. You see, we are sitting here, and State House already has almost blown up its budget for the year.
Yes.
Just 4 months after the financial year.
Mm.
They have chewed 81% of the budget. There's a lot of renovations going on in state lodges.
Okay? Yes.
And by the way, our presidential jet is in Netherlands.
Okay.
It's getting a TLC. It's getting a makeover.
Mm.
Who knows whether we're going to have a new presidential jet in the coming days. What I'm trying to say is...
Damn,
but
konene, so na cheki. Unachiki kiti nimekalia ni very comfortable. And saizi kuna vile tume upgrade studio. So kikama hapa kwa studio utapata kuna vile kuna like different cupboards and the furniture just looks really good. And that's courtesy of Best Furniture. Best Furniture wako located wapi? Wako located along the Eastern Bypass. Next to Hopkins Hospital. Alafu, apart from kukumekia very good furniture, another thing that they do is you can pay on delivery. So, unangoja nini? Majuzi na kungalikisema that I've been getting busy lately, so ilibidi nibaki nime upgrade kitanda. And all I can say is, yu kitanda auja ikuji na soundtrack. Utasumbua watu. Yeah. So, changamka jo. Best furniture jo. Yeah. Chiki ule studio ni anguvu, eh? Hmm? Achiki. And uki baki umerecha utu Best Furniture, usahau, eko nene. Is the guarantee. Chikigira yanaitwa Ian squeeze one. Haika Ian comfortable. Na ule nakaga iko comfortable mbaya. Best Furniture. Iko nene.
Lazima nikuulize, is information news ipata gaji? Kusikuna time like journalists mtatupatia information hino kwa like damn. So plane iko Netherlands.
It's in Netherlands. Yeah,
we could track over.
Yeah, it's going back. You know those are the makers of the plane, the Fokker.
Oh, okay.
Fokker is a Dutch company.
Oh.
So they've taken it back to manufacturers, I think, for retrofitting and a few others, you know, things. The plane is 30 years old. It was bought in 1995 by Moi.
Mm.
It's been used by Kibaki. Moi seldom used it. Mzee never wanted to travel abroad so much.
Mm.
Kibaki really didn't use it so much. Uhuru really used part of it. But the person who has put so much mileage in it.
Ni Ruto.
I think ameipitisha paka service yake imepita. Jamaa alikuwa ananiambia juu ya service hata imechapa brother.
Yeah.
Sasa amerudisha iende ifanywe overhaul engines whatever nini.
Niko sure sasa luxury uko ndani.
For sure.
Don't be surprised for sure, kuna massaging or heated
probably,
seats.
Or probably we're going to buy a new plane. Looks like Kenya wants to secretly buy a new plane. There's a lot of reports that we may get yourself a new presidential plane. And for obvious reasons, okay? It's not a secret. For obvious reasons because this plane is aged.
Yes.
30 years old, but it's still new. It's still airworthy because it also gets very good budget for maintenance, you know, by the MOD. So, but you just want to figure out that with new renovation state house, new look state house, a lot of new things around. Rafikiri mse ndaka kuendesha plane imechapa hivyo.
Zikina
ka Gulfstream kana kuja moja safi hapo in the coming days.
You mimi sasa swali yangu, kuna swali niliuliza Itumbi. And he wiggled out of it. And I was like, the next time I'll make sure he doesn't wiggle out of it. The question was, if we have elections in 2 years' time, why are we renovating everything? Because I can't renovate for you. Tuseme saizi, minimum Africa, sindio? Niko kwa hiyo ofisi. Na najua in 2 years' time, you are taking over.
Or somebody else could.
Yes.
It's,
would I be renovating all these things? So to me... It gives me, are you know, like a tingling sensation.
Yeah.
Like something is not right here.
This Nairobi State House is what? This year is going to be 107 years old.
Yes.
It's an old relic.
Mm.
It keeps taking a lot of money in maintenance every year, confidential budget and stuff.
Mm.
So only that this year again, we've gotten to learn also through, you know, Auditor General and information, freedom of information, that there's just so much going into renovation. By the way, it's not just this one that is being renovated, right?
Spia kuna Harambee House, a lot of state lodges, Spia.
A lot of them. Mm. Like the one in Eldoret is also being renovated, big one. Mombasa Pier. And there are new lodges like Kitui and so many others. So you wonder, you see, we have already devolved governance in this country.
Mm.
Okay? Devolution happened. Governors, Wako, they're also building. Governors are also building state houses on their own. State lodges. Big houses. The spirit of devolution was such that these guys would help the national government do the work from the grassroots.
Mm. So the president just pay salaries.
Yeah. And here's the point. The presidential transport system, you know, the helicopter that he has.
Yes.
Within 45 minutes, it could land anywhere in Kenya.
Mm.
All right. If he leaves Nairobi now, within 45 minutes, he could be in Mandera. He could be in anywhere. So the president can actually fly from Nairobi to even Marsabit and come back within the same day.
Yes.
So it's possible. All right? Mm. Of course, there's a need for national government to be present. And I think the president is kind of worried that he's losing touch, that the counties are taking a lot of effort, a lot of chunk on the ground, that the national government also needs to stamp its authority. Because why would you build state lodges in areas where the president doesn't even come, you know, so often? Also, we're also talking about competing national interests. Sha isn't working, is it? Sha is not working. Let's be honest. So you have so many competing interests on the table right now that people are wondering the rationale behind spending billions in renovating State House while you have a turnover of so many other things. You have new education system, you have new health system, you haven't recruited police, so many other things, you know.
So, and with that, I'm still asking you a question. You don't, apart from the money being spent, you don't have a problem with, like, all these renovations are too close to the elections. This looks like someone who has other plans. Najua, like, nikisikia Narendra Raval talking about 20 years. And then I see all these renovations. And I see all this expenditure. And I'm like, hey, Ruto anapendaje the next president. Baka namfanya hizi changes zote.
You know.
Think to push your mic close, kidogo.
Ivi, I feel like too much ambition breaks a man. But too little of it also doesn't take him anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of greed in between there for me and William Ruto. As a journalist, I've seen the kind of struggle he's going through. He's a micromanager. If you ask me what a kind of president he's a micromanager.
Yes.
He doesn't delegate anything. Ruto takes everything by himself. Have you seen any of his ministers speaking about even their own ministries? It's the president speaking about everything.
Yes.
From agriculture to defense, you know, to even sports. He's launching everything and speaking about Harambe Stars. So everybody else around him just, you know, becomes a flower boy or a flower girl. And when you have too much ambition like that, you find yourself with too much in the mouth. You cannot chew. Okay? And I think he's going to have constipation, so to speak, in terms of delivery. I mean, it's good to be ambitious and have all this project running around from housing, from whatnot. But again, you have a new education system being rolled out, the new health system being rolled out, new university funding model coming up against other interests. And people are wondering whether renovating the House of Power and State House ranks highest in the national interest or a competing interest. And, you know, young people were saying probably doesn't want to leave. Probably doesn't want to leave. Because this thing would have been done over years. This renovation would have been done. A phase of it would be done perhaps this time. And then the subsequent, you know, renovation could be done by the guys who are coming. If you do everything now, what is the guy coming next going to do?
Did you see the Harambe House one where even a disabled woman was refusing to move offices because when ataka wa renovate, she's normally, I think, on first floor, on a second floor, which is like for a disabled person, it's friendly.
Yeah.
They wanted to move her to like eighth floor so as to repair Harambe House.
Yeah.
And now she lives in her office. The last time I checked, alikuwa naishi kwa ofisi yake. And they're thinking, what's so urgent about all these renovations? They're super expensive. The things that we need to renovate, for example, Kenyatta Hospital has it party any priority?
To be honest, to be fair, most of these government offices and buildings are too old. They have been neglected over generations. So,
yes.
To be honest, there's need to give them a fresh paint.
Yes.
You know, also they represent the national government and the administration. But again, you also wonder, with a lot of services that are online, you know, for example, Huduma and so many other things.
Yeah.
You want, for instance, Ken, you want to see, you know, a lot of national interest going to serve the people. Like cancer cases in this country are on the rise. You know, the Cancer Institute needs a lot of help. We've got a lot of funding which we are receiving from donors for malaria, HIV. All of those ones have now been cut off by the Trump administration. So we have a funding gap, and most of these programs are now either collapsing, or you have a very reduced, you know, way in which they are running. So if you were to be given an opportunity where someone says, we are putting $3 billion to acquire additional land belonging to Eldoret Golf Club to give it to the State House Eldoret and put in 900 million for renovation. Not building a new one. Renovation costing $1 billion. Quantity surveyors and people who do all of that will tell you how much is $1 billion. It's enough to put up a new building
kila,
in Nairobi.
Yeah, kila kitu ni bulletproof hapo mpaka cho ama. You understand? Like it makes no sense. It makes no sense.
Maybe it's also in, it's, look, I don't know anything about that, but let's also be honest. You cannot be accused of not thinking like that, because what's the rationale? All right? Again, we are saying in the fullness of time we'll be able to see the wisdom or lack of it of some of the programs that are being undertaken at very rapid and concurrent pace. And Kenyans are saying this is coming at an expense of our lives, of our health, and so many other things. By the way, look at it this way. Capitation money this year was released when schools are getting closed. We have schools this year who are struggling with funding because we didn't have Form 1. You know, Form 1 was first out. Right? So the revenue from schools was reduced this year because there were no Form 1s who were paying school fees. So schools needed to figure out how to earn extra cash or how to survive with the money that they're getting.
Yes.
With, you know, with the same students. So these are some of the problems that you're going to see. As to whether it is prudent or not, let's give him time and figure out. Yeah.
Alafu, pia tubonge juu ya Hustler Fund. Kwa Hustler Fund, check ilikuwa imeandika, no security, no pay slip, no title deed, no logbook, no collateral for a loan. But 150 shillings is available. I've been telling you this for years. William Ruto and his friends at Safaricom, Airtel and Telkom Kenya engineered a heist of public funds through the Hustler Fund.
Did you see the Auditor General saying how much cannot be accounted for? Said about 30 billion now? You a lot of money. Mwaf, money cannot just disappear like that.
Okay. There's a digital footprint.
Gotta be, yeah, it's got to be where. Even if you go to the bank now to withdraw, there's going to be traces.
Yes.
Okay. Listen. When they were launching Hustler Fund at Uhuru Park, I think, they dragged all the CEOs of major companies. Okay? Even the guy at Safaricom told another person, napenda sausage yako. All right? The guy was selling him sausage and stuff in terms of trying to sell the Hustler Fund.
Oh, okay.
In the coming days after that, we've seen reports, even by Auditor General, saying, guys received money, okay, but we can't find these people. How does 800 million disappear like that? It's like guys went to mobile phone companies, registered ghost lines using IDs of people who died, okay, and got loans in those numbers.
Yes.
As soon as they were dispatched the money, people withdrew the money, used it, and shut off those lines. So those people cannot be traced. You can't, how does a disbursement of 800 million just happen like that? And you can't find physical recipients of that money. Now, we are talking about Hustler Fund, which is now a corruption gravy train for William Ruto. It has given a lot of money. People have defaulted. They are not paying. And the president told them that he cannot put them in CRB.
Yes. I remember your part. Apart from CRB, ilikuwa wasipolipa, they can't be forced. There's a term that he used that didn't make sense. Ile, now, if you say it's a corruption, then it actually makes sense. Because if you give people, no one be, si lazima mlipe, atuto afuata, atam spolipa.
Can you try and go to the bank right now and ask for 10,000 shilling loan? See the kind of documentation they would need. They would need guarantee, they would need, you know, security and so many other things. There's no such thing as free lunch.
Yes.
Somebody's got to pay for this money. This money has been stolen, it's been pilfered, and people will need to tell us where these billions have gone into. They just don't disappear like this. Hata ukiandikia mzee, ukipea mzee pesa, ukimtumia kwa simu, you will see this money came from so and so and so and so, umepata pesa ngapi, ume withdraw. Sahi DCI ikitaka kujua mahali umechukua do, umeenda kutoa wapi, kwa agent ya sijui Safaricom, Airtel Money, watapata hizo vitu zote. Lakini hii unaniambia Hustler Fund hakuna. Women Enterprise Fund, Youth Fund, all of that. How much is the Auditor General talking about? A lot of money. Where is this money, my brother? There's not enough outrage. And I'm disappointed.
Damn. Because that's such a clean heist.
And there's a new one. They call it Nyota, right?
Yeah, Nyota.
Yeah. this other one that is also coming up.
Mm.
It's also joining this other one here.
Because
I know this Nyota program was really thought out well.
Mm.
Okay? But maybe the implementation is going to be problematic because the people who conceived this idea are not part of the implementation.
Mm.
And that is going to be the problem.
Okay. And Nene, so another thing, Nachikigi, like, was it last week? Ulkomendika, the pathological liar is just about to. Why do you think he come to lying? Do you think he's worse than Uhuru and Kibaki? It comes to lying.
Who are you talking about?
See, pathological liar number one.
Ruto. Who is pathological liar number one?
According to any Ruto, that's why I'm asking you. Like, according to you, is he?
Listen, I'll tell you one thing, which I am convinced. It's a matter of conviction.
Yes.
And this I said from as early as December. 2023,
yes,
for which I received a lot of flank. Some of my seniors in the profession called me and told me, one guy to call me and told me, you do not call the president of Kenya a pathological liar as a professional journalist. You never do that.
Yes.
They said it's against all ethics, it's against the Media Act, it's against your fiber as a journalist. I went back, looked at how we've covered Donald Trump since 2016.
Yeah.
And we picked a lot of lessons from that.
Mm.
And I kept saying that the president of Kenya has a problem with lying.
Yes.
With the truth. He may call it his alternative truth, but to me, it's outright lying.
Mm.
All right? It's been published. The Standard newspaper called it out the other day. They said lies getting bigger and stuff like that. I'll tell you something. The president of Kenya says one thing now and then forgets that he said something else, goes around, thinks about it or doesn't think about it, and then he says the same thing in a different way.
Mm.
It's like trying to turn letter O upside down. I try to use this example when I can.
Mm.
Okay. He has a problem with fact checkers.
Mm.
Even at the State of the Nation address the other day, Nation Media Group has a lot of fact checkers. So they were using available information, intelligence and stuff, again, data from even a Kenya National Bureau of Statistics and so many other things.
Mm.
And then you figure out that the president misled. So I think we are coming to a matter of definition here. Should we say he's misleading? Should we say the president speaks his own truth or he understands? The other day he said we don't need rain.
Yeah, we need water.
We need water.
Mm.
Brother,
kufiti
hivyo kweli ama we should be worried that there could be other underlying there could be other underlying conditions that we don't know. And one thing I'll tell you about this country, it does not have the tradition of declaring the health of the president.
Mm.
In the US, the president goes and takes a medical test, which must be reported to American people. You saw with Joe Biden, and that informed his, you know, dropping out of the presidential race.
Sleepy
it was
Joe.
Because of the health reasons.
Mm.
I want to see a Kenya in future where the president of Kenya declares that he is mentally fit to continue serving as a commander-in-chief and as a president of Kenya. Because there are also provisions of the constitution where I say the president can be impeached on grounds of mental incapacity.
Yes.
But again, this behavior of seeing that the man says one thing today, when he gets caught, he says another thing. And that is not good also for journalists because we end up looking bad. We don't like to contradict the president every day, but the Lord's work must be done. If he lies, I'll tell you, we'll call him out and saying he's lying. And there are no two ways about it. If he lies outrightly, no matter how much you're trying to explain it, to panel beat it, to justify it, to say, no, the president meant this while you're saying this, for as long as he didn't say it, what he said, we'll call it out as it were. Because this happens, if you say something, you can be sued, by the way.
Yes.
So if the president, okay, says something now that is wrong, we're going to call him out. Because other people say other things, they get sued. So the president must also be held in the same token and breath. So the president of Kenya, William Ruto, is indeed a pathological liar.
Yes. Okay, okay. Alafu, another interesting thing that has happened in the past few days, imekuwa ni story na Siaya Senator Oburu Odinga. So, he's been taken ill.
Yeah.
And So ikakoni and euphemism for mandatory medical checkup. So what do you think it's up with him? Is he actually ill ama ameenda to rest?
Look, I cannot sit here and pass any medical opinion about Mzee Oburu Odinga. I know from you know what he said, he took a break and we've known of course he's out of the country on medical medical reasons.
Yes.
And again, sorry to the Odingas. I see they have lost their sister again this week.
Yes, burial.
Again, very tough times for the Odingas and, you know, and stuff. But then again, we keep saying this thing that the health of African leaders, politicians, and public servants cannot be an issue of secrecy. Okay? You cannot, if you are unwell, you are unwell.
Yes.
Mwaf, there are no two ways about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is why I'm saying we need a tradition and a culture in this country where leaders can say, look, I have served the public enough. I'm stepping down because of health reasons. We don't want to have a situation where you die in office. Okay? Because you didn't say it.
Yes.
I am imagining that for very natural reasons, at 81, Mzee Oburu Odinga is likely to suffer conditions and health situations that are consistent with people his age. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Just when you get older, we know a few things like, you know, are consistent. Doctors will tell you better. So now that he's a chairman of ODM, I think he owes it to everybody in light of the circumstance surrounding the death of Raila Odinga. I think he owes everybody the truth that if indeed he's incapacitated, then he has to say, because now he's elevated. He's no longer just a senator. He's also the chairman of the Standing Committee of Energy in the Senate and is now the chairman of a major political party. So he owes his constituents, you know, something. Of course, health matters are private, but let's also not say that you can keep that very close to yourself. There was a slip of tongue this time. By the president.
Oh, hey,
when during Raila Odinga's funeral, the president said he was also in Dubai. When he was speaking about Raila Odinga going for medical checkup, the president seemed to insinuate that he also went to Dubai for medical checkup. That soundbite is in public domain.
Oh, okay. All right?
And people read in between the lines, including myself, and said, well, it's good to admit that from time to time, maybe some of his trips could also present an opportunity where our leaders go abroad for medical checkup. You've had a member of parliament from Mosop who came back to this country this week after being away for two years.
Yes.
And you know what he said on the floor of parliament? He said, there's something wrong with medical practitioner in this country.
Yes.
It was a sweeping generalization, which I do not share because I know our medics do a fantastic job under the circumstance.
Yes.
But he said he went to Dubai and then he went to the US where he got life-saving medical care. See, the man was away for 2 years. His constituents, Mosop.
Yes, it's a stroke, Ama. Because I can see.
I think he had a problem. He had a problem, medical condition. So he said that he received the best medical. He was truthful and honest about his condition, which I think is a very rare for a politician who is battling a lot of illness. We have a lot of politicians in this country who are sick, more Africa. Who are sick, others are retired, and you get to not know about it. Yet the public keeps maintaining, you know, their cost of medication. You see, there's a retirement benefit scheme for the prime minister of this country and for the vice presidents. So the life, for example, and the health of Moody Awori should be a concern to us. The health of Mr. Kalonzo Musyoka should be a concern to us because they are maintained by the taxpayer, you know, because we're paying for them. So Mr. Oburu Odinga, we wish him the best, and we hope that Mzee, when he comes back, he will be able to at least give us a sense of how he's feeling at this point. Because for Raila, to be honest, Mzee, there are people who still believe that Raila isn't dead.
Yeah,
people who still say Baba is just away. Baba, well, you are away.
Yeah.
All right? You feel Baba is just going for medical and stuff like that because it took everybody by surprise. And there's a secrecy around which, you know, that we do not want to see.
Yes.
For instance, if the president of Kenya, for example, is going to Dubai for medical, it should just be said that the president is going out for medical.
Yeah.
We had former President Moi going to Israel for medical checkup.
Oh, okay.
He said it as much.
Mm.
The other day, President Uhuru Kenyatta said something about his health.
Yeah, cancer.
Cancer.
Mm.
And everybody said, okay, Mzee, we wish you the best. You're in our collective thoughts and stuff.
Mm.
So it shouldn't be it shouldn't be such a secret.
Mm.
What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it should be a secret. I think for them, especially for Ruto right now, he'd see, we'd look at it as a weakness. So I understand yeye ku...
Ama ni wanaume tu, hata sazile unakuwaka mgonjwa usemi.
Yeah, yeah.
Unaumia tu.
Mm.
Ukisema yoni mgonjwa watu, unasema ala brother itakuwaje.
Mm. Alafu for politicians, to kama Raila, you can also see like one of the things that used to happen is, not just Raila, if you look at even Maraga right now, you look at Kalonzo, is they have to dye their hair.
Mm.
So kuna kukana yoru.
Mazimi ndio mzee hapa. Wisho wana mila hiyo, mimi ndio nikona white hair huko.
Yeah. It's not cheap, keep ya.
Lakini Mudavadi ana white hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Shona Wetangula?
Yeah, hawanaga.
Jamu wana
die. So politicians lazima wa die. I think
wanaoga that, na kurudi soko.
Yes. So I think the hair dying is to show you that they are not anywhere close to dying, I think.
And you see, and the way some of us wanted this gray hair, because we used to see our fathers with it.
Yeah.
And just wondering, are we ever going to get to that stage? Now we are our fathers, we are
yes,
here.
Yes, yes.
Here to feature, brother. Tunatembea now as a mark of badge of honor.
Yeah, but politicians never do that. So I think because of that, how is it aka hiyo nini? Alafu, the funny thing pia ikikam to aging is, I always joke that Ngina Kenyatta is not aging, but inaka pesa ni dumb.
You know something? Mm. There are laws in this country about the health of first family,
yes,
both present and retired, that you cannot speak about.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, for instance, if today you see a well-known VVIP being wheeled into the emergency section of Nairobi Hospital. You are there with your phone. You see, for example, the president or the vice president or the prime minister or the head of the military being wheeled in there. You know, there are laws against which you cannot publish that.
Oh, okay.
All right. You will see it. You will know about it. And I think it brought one of the politicians a problem one time. There was a politician, I don't want to mention his name. He must have taken a photo of a retired first lady who went out to receive a medical attention at Nairobi Hospital.
Which retired?
I think it must have been Mama Ngina Kenyatta.
Oh, oh.
And he must have said something about she's here and it really got him into trouble with the law.
Oh, oh.
So the thing is, the health of the sitting president and the family is a matter of national security.
Yes.
It's a matter of national importance. But here's the point.
Mm.
How will Kenyans know if the president is unwell? How will they know? Because the constitution safeguards against having a person who is mentally incapacitated being the leader of this country and the head of the, you know, the commander in chief of the Kenya Defense Forces. So there's a very thin line. And I'm just sitting here in Africa wondering, for instance.
Yes.
What if one day you are somewhere in the bundus out of the city and you witness a horrific air crash involving a very senior leader of this country. You are the only person there. You've probably caught it on camera, on your phone. Okay? You know you cannot break the news, right?
Yeah. Okay.
You can't do that. You can't break the news. And I don't think a lot of people know that.
Oh, Skona Jua.
And that is why, you see, the president was the only person who was allowed to break the news of General Zagola's death the other day, officially.
Yeah.
Even if you knew about it, you were not going to say it. The media knew about it.
Yeah.
But you're waiting for the protocol, you know, from State House, Nairobi, or from the office of the president.
So that's why Kina Cyprian, those ones, Wakipost, they were breaking the law in quotes. Eh?
Well, it's a very thin line. It's a very thin line.
Because social media pays not.
And this is why you see the computer misuse is coming into effect. That law to regulate that sphere will claim a few people in the coming days. In fact, even journalists are now wondering, you know, how much is, you know, how much are they going to get affected? All this, there's erosion of freedom. So that if something happened very to a very key person in this country one day.
Yes.
Mwafrika, utashikilia hiyo story yako. Ushaikanyagia story.
Utakanyagia
hiyo story for hours on end. Hata kama wewe mwenyewe unajua. Hiyo simu yako itazokuja itachukuliwa na hakuna kitu utafanya. Hakuna mahali utapeleka mtu. Jamaa atakuja uchukua hiyo simu, watembee nayo, wa review hiyo material yote. If they deem that material is contrary to the good public order of this country, hakuna mahali utaweka, ni hao wenyewe ndio wataifanya.
Okay.
So ambia wajama wanya ma smartphone na ma bundles, just to watch out. Wanazaona kitu lakini si kila kitu watapublish.
Oh, inaweza kuletea shida.
Mbaya ngori.
Oh, mama. Okay. Mm. And nini? Tukitoka kwa yani tukistick up pia na journalism, there's something that you wrote that was very interesting, yes? Ilikuwa ni
Afrika. Umeni yani umereview hiyo timeline yangu yote.
Mkufuata.
Nyongolo kabisa. Nipigenya nyongolo kabisa.
Mkufuata joko kuna in the middle of all the abductions used to post things nasema umsema mwatu anataka kuabductiwa.
Kama gani brother? Kama gani sasa?